Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, we've been on the air for 20 years, 5 days a week here in Denver. We're on a 50,000-watt AM station, AM 670. Two of our staffers, Connie and Al Sharon, also lovingly known as Mom and Pops, went to Chicago recently and met a gentleman named Marty Klein, and I thought it'd be fun to talk with Marty. Connie suggested it. Marty has some beliefs along the lines of Native American spirituality. So, Marty, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Thank you.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing wonderful.
I'm glad to hear that. So, Marty, apparently you told Connie that you disagree with her religious beliefs. Of course, millions of people around the world disagree with one another. So she thought it'd be fun if you and I were to talk. Could you describe to us your beliefs? And let's start from there. I'm a Christian, as you know, but what do you believe in?
Well, actually, I didn't know that you were a Christian. I'd never asked. And
All right. It
really didn't matter to me because I don't judge other people's beliefs.
Marty, if Connie's correct, she said after you guys meeting for just a few minutes, you told her that she was brainwashed.
Yes.
If she talked to you, you would be able to fix that. So you just said you don't judge other people's beliefs. So to tell someone you've just met who's a Christian that they're brainwashed, it sounds like you do judge other people and what they believe.
Well, saying that someone is brainwashed isn't judging them. I didn't judge whether it was good or bad or indifferent. Someone comes at me saying that their beliefs are the only way, and if you don't believe in their way, then you're wrong and walk away in anger. When someone does that to me, I tell them that, you know, they obviously don't even know their own beliefs.
So
now you,
all right,
Bob, told me that you're a Christian.
Yes.
And I want to ask you one thing.
Yeah.
Do you know whereabouts in the Bible it tells of Jesus coming upon someone who wasn't a Christian, which, by the way, no one was back then, and stomping away in anger because they weren't a Christian? Can you tell me where that's at in the Bible? Because
Jesus,
if this is your ways,
I
would like to read it. No, because I have read the Bible about 10 times, and
right,
I do pray to Jesus every day.
Right,
every
Marty,
day.
Jesus did say in the parables he told about himself, things like, bring them here, those enemies of mine who would not obey me, and slay them before me. You probably recall that from the four Gospels. Jesus said a lot of very harsh and very difficult things. We tend to turn him into a very gentle person when he was gentle, and he was also extremely harsh. He was both, because sometimes when people are destroying themselves, you need to wake them up. So anyway, you're saying that Connie stormed away angry?
Let me grab a pencil, because when someone tells me that there's something in the Bible for a reason, now I don't follow the Bible per se 100%. As you know, I follow a Native way. Could you tell me where you got that from in the Bible?
Sure, I could look that up for you. While I'm doing that, Marty, let me open up my Bible here. While I'm doing that, I've just asked Connie to come in. So Connie's putting on her headphones.
Hi, Marty.
Hi, Connie.
Marty, if it's okay with you, I'll call Connie Mom because she's Mom to me. Mom.
Well, that's wonderful. In my beliefs, which you did ask about, we respect the women because we believe that the Creator gave women a special ability, and that ability is to bring in new life, new sons of God, if you will. I mean, God made you and God made me, so we're all related. And when God brings a new spirit to this earth, he does this through women. And that's a great honor. So in a Native way, the way that I follow, we honor our women for this.
All right. And Marty, that's in Luke 19:27. But first, we could look at that in a moment.
Luke right now, actually. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. But first, so Connie.
I started reading the Bible again, and I am actually.
Good. Good.
Okay. Could you say that one more time? Luke what?
19:27. But first, the story. Mom, you stormed away angry.
The first thing that happened, we came upon the circle, and you were leading it. and they were sharing a peace pipe.
There was a meeting.
It was a ceremony honoring this woman's dead husband. And my daughter jokingly said, I'm bringing a young squaw.
Is that how she described squaw. You? In other words,
describing
she said
me. And you immediately were so offended by that word. You thought that was offensive.
What? A young what?
A young squaw. My sister, jokingly referring to her mom, said, I'm bringing a young squaw.
And you were offensive, but that's okay. You know, I didn't.
Connie, I think you might have misunderstood. First off, the word squaw is a derogatory word. It would be like calling a black person a okay? It's an offensive word. Now, I wasn't offended. I thought that I explained that to you there. So I wasn't angry.
You were offended, and we quickly acted like we were sorry that we offended you.
So in other words, my sister, Susan, had no idea that squaw was considered offensive. It's, you know, it's often used in an offensive or disparaging way, but a lot of people may not know that. So you indicated, so you indicated you were offended, and right away, Connie and Susan, they were apologetic in their attitude.
Sure.
You know, there's always two versions of the story. I personally was not offended. Okay, I'm not a woman. I was not offended. I thought that I should let them know. Now, when someone comes up to me pushing their beliefs, I put up, I guess, what I call a wall of protection.
All right, Marty. After the ceremony was over, everyone left. You were alone gathering your belongings, and then I came up to you, if you recall, and I asked you, may I ask you a question on your spiritual...
I remember we were in the middle of that it wasn't a circle, it was like a little maze thing or something.
Well, we were up on the hill, and everyone left to go have their lunch, and I stayed with you because I wanted to ask you an important question. And I asked you first if I could ask you a personal question on your spiritual belief, and you said yes.
Do you remember that, Marty?
I don't remember, per se, exactly, but I remember her being there after the ceremony was over. And
this was
talking.
A few weeks ago, right?
This was about three weeks.
I don't remember the question that she asked, but I do remember when I was packing up, everyone else went in, and Connie stayed behind.
The question I asked you, because you gave me permission to ask, I said, Marty, if you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven?
Do you remember that, Marty?
Not really, but I'm not saying that she didn't ask.
Yeah.
I don't remember every conversation of everything. I have so many conversations with a lot of people.
Sure.
But if Connie says this is what she asked, I'm sure that it's true.
Well, what I remember is you saying that you don't even know if there is a heaven. And that's
correct.
What perked me up even more to go on.
Correct.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
So
I've answered that question.
But then what happened,
many times.
You started saying that you're brainwashed, or your pastors, your priests. If I had you for a month, I can show you the truth and unbrainwash you.
Well,
you got so offensive that you even used foul language.
So, Marty, do you remember getting angry, offended, and cussing? And was it Connie who stormed away angry, or were you the one who was angry and judgmental?
It was Connie that was angry.
I remember even saying, Marty, give me a hug. I love you. You know, the people were all watching us from where they were sitting, and they saw us hug each other. So I didn't leave you angry at all.
Do you remember that, Marty?
Yes.
You know, sometimes things happen,
and, Connie,
and we
Connie,
remember
do you
them.
Remember when we hugged, I told you the reason that natives always hug, the native men hug native men and women. Do you remember me telling you that?
No, refresh me, please.
I normally, like when I meet other people, I give them a hug. And what this does is, in my belief, my spirit feels your spirit. It's almost like our spirits come in contact with each other. And so now your spirit and my spirit will know each other in our lives to come and, you know, in the spirit world. So
I remember suggesting that we hug because I didn't want to leave there with a bad feeling. So I suggested that we hug.
You put me on the radio and try to put me down.
No, I don't want to put you down. What I thought is...
Every question has been about something negative that you remember of that meeting.
Well, even if...
You have asked me nothing about my spirituality. Nothing.
Well, Marty,
the only thing that you've mentioned is the negative that you remember because you stormed into a group which was, my understanding, mostly pagan-type people, and you were the lone Christian, and you couldn't seem to convert anyone. So you were kind of like in a little... You're not the happiest mood. And when you came up to me and tried to convert me.
I didn't try to convert you. I wanted to know what you believe.
You wanted to know. Ask me about my beliefs so you could put me down and you couldn't do it there. I wouldn't allow you. So now you call me on the radio, which is fine. I don't mind. I will continue talking to you on the radio. But
just tell us what you believe.
I believe that Jesus loves everybody.
Mm-hmm. How about the child molester? The people who kidnap, rape, and murder children.
Yep.
And how about the Nazis who slaughtered the Jews?
Yep.
And are they all equal with those who love their neighbors? According to Jesus' teaching, are they all equal?
Are they all equal?
Well, in Jesus', estimation.
Jesus gives them?
In Jesus' estimation, because he said that some will be beaten with many stripes, referring to punishment in the afterlife. And some will be beaten with few. Jesus talked more about hell, Marty, than any of the prophets of the Old Testament. Most of the modern world's understanding of hell comes from Jesus Christ, not from Moses or Isaiah or Zechariah, not from Elijah or Ezekiel.
Most of the understanding of hell comes from Dante's Inferno.
Well, no, Dante, Jesus Christ preceded Dante by 1,500 years. So when Jesus spoke about people being separated from God forever and that this is a place of punishment because they have rejected Jesus Christ, they've rejected the Father, Jesus said, I am the way. No one comes to the Father but by me. And the passage you asked me about in Luke 19:27, Jesus is telling a parable. In the conclusion of it, he says, bring them here, those enemies of mine who would not obey me, and slay them before me. When Jesus came, he was put to death by the authorities. And they didn't put him to death because he was so nice to everyone. They put him to death because they were angry at his teaching. Right, does that make sense? People who you're nice to don't normally put you to death.
I'm at Luke 19:27, and it doesn't say anything about slaying anybody.
Well, Luke 19:27, Jesus
Luke
is...
Luke 19:27.
Yeah,
but those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me.
Yeah, you just said that it doesn't say anything about slaying anyone. Jesus said, bring them here, those enemies of mine, who would not obey me, who did not want me to reign over them, and slay them before me. And of course, Jesus is telling a parable. He speaks a lot in parables. Jesus Christ is not the wimpy character that we've made him out to be. The reason Dante wrote about hell was because 1,500 years before Dante, Jesus Christ spoke more about hell than the entire Old Testament combined. We get the bulk of our teaching of God's wrath and punishment against those who reject him from Jesus Christ after they die. The judgment comes.
Okay, I thought that you, I'm sorry, I misunderstood what you said. I thought you said fillet them, meaning with the whip.
Jesus did say elsewhere, he said, some will be beaten with many stripes and others with few stripes, because those who hurt little ones, Jesus said it'd be better for you to take a big stone and tie it around your neck and throw it in the sea than if you cause a little one to be led astray, to stumble.
Okay. So, this interview that you're having with me, was there anything else that you wanted to know about?
Well,
me,
sure.
That you just want to preach about the Bible?
Well,
which there's, you know, I'm not saying that in a negative way.
No, Marty.
As I told you, I am actually reading the Bible, and I am one Luke right now, so it's kind
of
amazing
that
you brought that up. But I wasn't that far
well,
into Luke.
Well, Marty,
yet.
The thing that got my attention was after a few minutes of meeting Connie, that you said she was brainwashed, and that's an accusation. And so I wanted to know, why would you say that someone you just met was brainwashed?
I'll give you a perfect example. My daughter likes to go to church, and I encourage it, because any type of spirituality that one can connect with, whether it be, I mean, any faith at all, as far as I'm concerned, as long as it's not
The Nazis had occultic beliefs. So to say any kind of faith.
That was a negative faith. I said anything that as long as it's not a dark side or a negative.
Well, how about the Aztecs? You know, when a whole culture takes young women, virgins, you know, teenagers, and kills them in front of the crowd and then skins them, and the high priest wears their skin in an annual ceremony. This is a wicked belief system. It's a faith system, but it's a faith system.
I think it's wrong. It's
right.
I think that's wrong, and I don't go there per se. You know, I don't. And from what I understand about the Aztecs, I really don't know that much about it. But it seems like there's a lot of speculation as to what they did. Like the temples, they say they were for sacrifice, and there was so much sacrifice that blood was running down the steps like a river. That's speculation. But on the other hand, I do believe that this is what they did, and I believe it was wrong. It was wrong.
Right. Thank you for that, Marty. That's great that there's
Who
agreement
am I
there.
To take your life?
Yeah.
I mean, if you believe in something different than me, or if I just want to appease the
God of prosperity or whatever. Yeah, the ancient world practiced human sacrifice.
But the word God is not a name. The word God is a title. Just
right.
And so creator seems to work for me because it, I don't know, but that's what I use.
Well, that's fabulous, because whoever God is, he is the creator. Marty, here in our church at Denver Bible Church, we teach people that Jesus said in the Gospel of John, that if I testify concerning myself, my testimony is not credible. The Lord said that because people lie about themselves all the time. They have a bias. So Jesus said, look at the witnesses, look at the evidence. In the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 11, it says, faith is the evidence of things not seen, the evidence. In fact, the Apostle Paul said,
that kind of goes with blessed are those that see and believe, and more blessed are those that don't see and believe.
Well, sure, if you look at the evidence, right.
Which I don't know where that's at in the Bible, but I remember reading it.
Yeah,
somewhere.
It's in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew, early chapters of Matthew. And Marty,
you have a better memory as to what the, I read it, but I, like I said, I really don't remember what books and verses.
Well, sure.
I have read the Bible about 10 times.
Wow.
And I am, honestly, reading it again, mainly because one of the people that I'm teaching has a strong Christian background, but they're disappointed. They feel that going to church, and I hear this so much. And Bob, I think this is where our conversation should be going, especially for your parishioners. So many people go to the church and they listen to the preacher, which is good. It's a good thing if it's a good preacher. But they seem to be missing something. When do they get to explore their connection with Creator or with God? When do they get to say their words? Now, with your church, I imagine you don't probably have a whole lot of preset prayers, but I was raised Catholic, and I had to say all these prayers, and I had to listen to preachers speak in Latin. So I had no idea what the guy's saying,
right.
And there was a connection missing. And I feel that the Christian religion is really a great, great religion. The only problem is so many people do not connect with it. They do not connect with their higher power. They don't connect with Creator or Jesus. And when you don't connect with Jesus and you're following this Christian way, well, you're missing something. And it's a shame because I've connected with Jesus. And, you know, I kind of wish that you or Connie was here, because in a few minutes I could have goosebumps on you when you feel the connection. So I'm not anti-Christian, okay? But the people, I started to tell you, my daughter said the prayer before we eat. We always say a prayer before we eat. So she said one of these, come Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let this food to our bodies be blessed. So, and then she started eating. I told her, stop. And she says, what? I says, you just invited someone to dinner, didn't you? And she says, no. I says, Nicole, what did you say? And she said it again. Okay, come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. See, you invited someone to dinner. You don't even know what you're saying because through repetition, you have said this prayer so many times. Now, the Christian that I'm teaching, I'm going over the Lord's Prayer with him. What a great prayer, you know. And he didn't know what it means. Now here's some guy that's 20 some years old, was raised. He's a Polish guy. He was raised in Poland. He's Catholic, Roman Catholic, I think. I don't know, but he's Catholic and he doesn't know the meaning of these prayers because he was never taught that. He goes to church. He sits down, you know, sit, kneel, stand, do all that stuff. You know, say the prayers that you're supposed to say, read them out of the book. But when do you actually feel them in your heart? And this is why I have this problem with, it's not a negative thing, but I do have a problem with the Christian religion because it's not letting a lot of churches, I'm not going to say all of them because I don't know your church, a lot of them do not let their parishioners contact their higher power, their, you know,
well,
Jesus.
Mark,
and it's a shame that these people are going there crying out for help, crying out for their spirituality or their religion, however you want to say it, and they're not getting it because they're in a group like a whole bunch of sheep.
So,
and
Marty,
do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I've listened carefully to everything you've said. Jesus said, "Many will come in my name, but will deceive many. They'll lead many astray."
I'm not saying that you're a deceiver.
No, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about Jesus said that. Just because people use my name, that doesn't mean that they are faithfully representing me. Because Jesus said repeatedly, Jesus was the most exclusive of all the great religious leaders of the world. Jesus is the one who said, I am the only way. If you do not believe in me, you are condemned. If you believe in me, you can have everlasting life. If you do not, Jesus said, you have to love me more than your parents. You have to love me more than your children, more than your wife or husband. So Jesus, I realize that a lot of people who are not Christian, they want to change the message of Jesus and just make him into a real nice guy, maybe a teacher or a prophet. But Jesus didn't come saying, I'm one nice guy out of a lot of nice guys.
But
Jesus
Bob,
said
if you follow the teachings of Jesus, if you live a good life, if you try to live a good life and you follow the good ways of Jesus. Okay, so you're saying there's like a good side and a bad side, or I don't know if bad is the right word, but...
No, there's truth. There's truth, and so there's
okay, a, good,
there's
a good
judge.
Side and a bad side. If you follow this good way, then that's all you really need to know. You don't need to know about hell. You really don't need to know about it because it doesn't matter. What matters is that you honor your mother and father.
Marty...
You follow all these rules.
But why then did Jesus take so much time to warn people about hell? If you realize that hell's not all that important, you don't have to talk about it. You've set yourself up as an authority over your creator because Jesus Christ is our God who came here to die on the cross for us and was raised from the dead. So I don't know what evidence you have that your belief system is true, but the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, if
Can
Jesus...
Can I answer that question?
Thank yeah.
You. You've heard of psychics?
Yeah.
Okay, I have some psychic ability, not a lot, but some, and I've seen things. You know, I see spirits. I'll be downstairs working on the pipe, and one lady that I know that passed on, I see her spirit walking by all the time, and it's a happy spirit.
Yeah.
And before she died, I helped her, and she found the love of
yeah,
Jesus,
Marty,
if you will.
Marty. Yes. That's why Jesus said, if I testify concerning myself, my testimony is not credible. When you give that kind of testimony, people should believe that Marty teaches correctly because he sees things. That's not valid.
Well, I can't deny Jesus, what I see.
Marty,
is what I'm saying.
Well, the Bible says the heart is exceedingly deceptive. The heart is very deceptive. People believe things that are demonstrably false, and they believe them with all their heart. So that's why Jesus said, don't even take my word. If I tell you who I am, he said, my testimony is not credible. You have to look at the evidence. So Paul said, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then Christianity is false. Then our faith is in vain. So these things are not the substance of brainwashing. These things are looking at the evidence of the history of the world. God gave the world his word through the centuries with scores of prophecies of a coming Messiah, when he would come, where he would be born, how he would live his life, how he would die, and that he'd be raised from the dead so that if we believe in him, we could be saved. That is the message of Jesus Christ, which it seems to me you don't believe, and you will try to undermine those who do believe in him. And Jesus warned us about that.
I don't believe that. I've told you many times that I do.
You believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sin and was raised from the dead?
Yeah.
Bodily.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Then do you believe that Jesus, as Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Do you believe that?
First off, I don't know what the Father is. Okay, there's not a whole lot about that.
Well, he's God.
Yeah, well, but the word God is just a title, you know, like president or father or
our friend. Creator God, our creator.
I mean, I read a lot of different spiritualities, and I take from each one what works for me, and I have yet to find. Now you know what we're supposedly created in God's image.
Yes.
And so people think that God looks like you. Okay. So there's this person that looks just like you. Yeah, it's got two arms and two legs and
right.
you know, whatever, sitting up on a throne. I do not believe that.
Well, no, the Bible says God is a spirit, and the first
God
thing
is energy.
And a spirit.
My definition of God is intelligent. Organized energy, like a big ball of intelligent,
yeah.
Organized energy. And this big ball encompasses the whole universe. Everything in the universe is made out of energy. You are, Connie is.
Yeah, that's pantheism. That's pantheism. God isn't the universe. God created the universe. God isn't everything. God's not a child molester. He's not a pornographer. He's not a rapist. God created the universe. The universe is separate and distinct from God. We could be in rebellion against God, but we're not God and we're not part of God. All of a sudden, we're completely out of time. So please tune in tomorrow for the rest of this program, or you can get it online at kgov.com. That's our site, and our phone number is 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. Call up if you want our Bible studies, audio, or DVD, or if you want our books, debates, books on the Bible. We have a lot of materials.